Welcome, everyone, to our service of worship here this Lord's Day. Welcome those sitting in through in the church building, and those who will be listening later on through our church website or CD recordings. And welcome to all who are here in the church hall. Just mention, I think you're already aware, the new regulations brought in a couple of days ago require us to wear face coverings unless we're exempt from that during all our time when we're indoors on the church premises. So I can't see your faces as well today as I would normally be able to, and it's a bit strange looking down on lots of masked faces. I think I know who you all are though. The announcements, bit of a backlog of announcements with a lot happening over the last wee while. Our evening service, God willing, here tonight at 7:30. Then on Monday evening in the church hall, a meeting of the Board of Deacons. That's postponed from during the recent lockdown. Wednesday evening, there's a meeting, an adjourned meeting of the Northern Presbytery, and that's in the hall in Ballymoney Church at 7:30. It's an adjourned meeting, and Roy was the elder for the meeting that was adjourned, so Roy is still the elder for the second part of that meeting. Then Thursday evening at 8 o'clock in the church hall, meeting of session. Again, session was due to meet earlier in the month, and that couldn't happen. So that's rearranged to Thursday night of this week. Next Lord's Day then, assuming everything goes all right at Presbytery, I would be due to be going to Drumbolg Church next Sabbath morning and to take the worship service there. And then there's been a visitation of Drumbolg congregation, and I would be reading the finding of the presbytery. And therefore, I'm swapping pulpits with Reverend Norris Wilson. Norris is due to be coming here to take the morning service next Lord's Day, and I hope to be back for the evening service. So this will be a new thing to Norris. I don't think he's preached anywhere other than Drumbolg since lockdown times, and so we need to make sure that we've thought of everything in advance for Norris next Sabbath. Offerings at the end of the year, we always have an offering for Tear Fund, for the Tear Fund Children in Need, and also for the Leprosy Mission. And if you have anything you want to give to those, if you just put it in an envelope and write on the envelope what it's for, and put it in the plate beside the door on the way into the church hall, or the plate on the vestibule table if you're in through in the church building. Now, on the tables on the way in today, there were offering envelopes for the year 2021. Now, it's not that there's any change in our arrangements for offerings, so the fact that there are those offering envelopes doesn't mean that we want you to start using those offering envelopes if you haven't been using them. So if you have an arrangement with the bank for a standing order, or if you're doing payments online, if you continue with that, but do please check that the number that is on the envelopes is the right number. So that's an important thing. And if there's any issue there, if you speak to Audrey, she's the one that needs to know about that. Then also on the tables in the way in today, there's a Covenanter Witness magazine for December and January, and there's a new missionary prayer letter for December, January, and February. And the other announcement I need to make is that if anyone is interested in the Let's Worship God Bible notes produced weekly by the Airdrie Church, those will be available for next year. There's normally a paper announcement that comes out, but they're not sending any paperwork out this year. But those will be available as they have been in the past. And if anybody is interested in those, you can let me know and I'll put you in touch with the relevant person. I think those are all the announcements that I meant to make. So we come to worship God together again this Lord's Day, and we come to God in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we thank you for this place of shelter that we have today when it's very wet and windy outside. And we give thanks, Lord, that today we are allowed to gather here in this place after 2 weeks when we weren't allowed to. And we praise you for your goodness to us in that. We thank you also that many are able to gather in here today in one part of the building or another. And we praise you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We're in the final month of this year now, and we thank you for your ongoing faithfulness, for how you've watched over us, and we praise you for the measure of health that you've given that allows us to be out and about. And we pray for those, O Lord, who need to keep their distance in these times, and we pray for those not able to gather here among us. We ask that you'll be with them in their homes, and we pray, Lord, for your strengthening and for your help for them. We ask for your blessing upon us in this time of worship. We thank you that we have a great Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray, Lord, for the work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts as we look to your word and think of the things that you say to us there in the Scriptures. Hear us now in our prayers. Forgive all our sins, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us read together from the Scriptures. I want to read Psalms. Read two Psalms, and I'll be speaking on the second of these two Psalms. Psalm 23 and 24. Page 491 is where it's found in our church pew Bible. Book of Psalms, chapter 23, and then also chapter 24. So let us hear the word of God. These are both Psalms of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, beside the still waters. He restores, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. So reads God's word. And I want to say a few words to the children today, wherever you might be, if you're here in the hall, in the church building, or at home. I've read two Psalms there, Psalm 23 and Psalm 24. And both of those Psalms tell us something of what the Lord Jesus Christ is like. Psalm 23 tells us that Jesus is like a great shepherd. And Psalm 24 tells us that Jesus is the great king. And Psalm 24 talks about gates being opened up or lifted up in order for the king to enter. Now, in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus talks about himself in John chapter 10 as being the good shepherd. And one of the things that a shepherd had to do for his sheep was that at night time the sheep would be gathered together and they'd be put into a sheepfold, and there was a gate that was opened and closed, and the gate had to be opened to let the sheep in and to let the sheep out, and then it was closed to keep them safe. And it was the shepherd's job to make sure that the gate was opened so that the sheep could get in, or closed so that they'd be kept in and then opened again to let them out. And the shepherd had to do that. It wasn't the sheep that opened the gate. The sheep could stand there where the gate was and they could look at it, but the sheep couldn't open the gate. That wasn't something that they could do. The gate had to be opened for them. And in Psalm 24, there are gates. There are gates that need to be opened. And they are the gates of glory, or the gates of heaven. And it is Jesus to whom those gates open up. Jesus has to open the gates to heaven and the gates to glory for us. We could stand and look at them, but they wouldn't open for us. But they'll open for Jesus, because he is the great king, and he is the good shepherd. And we need to trust that Jesus is able to open for others the gates to heaven, the way into heaven itself, and into the glory of God. And Jesus, as the shepherd of his people, and as the king of his people, he ensures that the gates are opened so that Christ's people can be with him where he is. So Psalms 23 and 24 speak to us about shepherds and kings and gates. And I'll be speaking more about Psalm 24 shortly in our service. Well, we come now to God in prayer. During the past week, the call to Reverend Philip Dunwoody from the Dromore congregation was presented, and Philip has been given until the 4th of January to give his answer. If he's not going, he can stop the call at any stage, but if he is going, then he will say so at an online meeting on the 4th of January. So remember Philip and his wife Hannah in their thoughts and prayers regarding the call to Dromore. Robert McCollum, minister in Newton Ards, today is his last day in Newton Ards. He'll be taking the services in Newton Ards today, and then some men from Presbytery will come this evening, and after the evening service, they will, what's called, dissolve the pastoral tie, and Robert will no longer be the minister in Newton Ards. And they plan to move house to Lisburn on Friday, and then his installation in Lisburn is set for a date in January. I think it's the 13th of January, so his first Sabbath day would be the one, that's a Wednesday. A few days afterwards, he would begin his ministry, preaching ministry in Lisburn. So we remember Robert McCollum. And then Andrew Kerr has a call to the States, a church in New Jersey, and he's due to give his answer by Wednesday of this week, which may effectively mean that they'd be answering it today. So remember Andrew in our prayers also. And then I'll pray for Reverend Norris Wilson, who's due to come here next Sabbath to take our services. Norris was diagnosed a few years ago with Parkinson's disease. He has been able to press on in his ministry, but it has taken its toll upon him. And recently he announced his intention to retire. So within the next few months, probably, Norris will be finishing up his time in Drimbolg. So remember him in our prayers. Now, if you're able, please stand as we come to God in prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we praise you that you're the great God and ruler over all the nations of this earth. You're the God who made this world. You're the God who has given us the Scriptures. And you're the God who sent your Son into this world to be the Savior of sinners. And we praise you, Lord, for all that you have done and continue to do. We thank you for your mercy shown to us in these days and weeks and months of this pandemic. And we thank you, Lord, for your kindness and your provision. We ask for your ongoing help. We give thanks for those who have already received the first vaccine, first dose of that first vaccine. And we do pray, O Lord, that the vaccination program will advance efficiently and that it will be successful. And we pray for those in our congregation who won't be able to be out and about until they until they have received the vaccination. And we pray that it will come sooner rather than later. And we look to you, Lord, for your mercies in the midst of these difficult times. We pray that over the coming weeks that there wouldn't be a huge increase in the number of infections around. And we pray that you, Lord, would be merciful to us in these times. We pray for the talks that are going on between the UK and the European Union. And Lord, we pray that whatever the result of all of that is, that there will be efforts made to minimize the difficulties that it will all bring, whatever the outcome might be. And we pray, Lord, that for the cause of the gospel, that there will be an outcome that will favor that. And we don't know what shape that would be, but we pray that you would have in particular the good of your church throughout the lands of Europe in mind and whatever comes about. We pray for these ministers that we've been praying for. We thank you for how you've led Robert McCollum to accept the call. Bless him today in his final day of ministering to the Newton Ards congregation. We pray that will be a special, special day. And pray for your help in moving to Lisburn and all the changes that will bring. We ask, Lord, for Andrew Kerr, that you will help him in the call that he has received. And we pray for those congregations, one in this island and one across in the States. We ask that you will strengthen your cause there, whatever the outcome of the call will be. We pray for Philip Dunwoody. Pray for him as he weighs up the things that he heard from the Dervock folk and the Dromore folk, and we pray that you'll be pleased to lead him clearly to either stay on where he is or to go to that new place of ministry. And we pray that you'll provide for your people there in those two congregations. We ask for Norris Wilson. We pray for Norris that you'll be with him in these days as his thoughts turn to retirement and as he exercises a closing ministry in the congregation of Drumbolg. And we pray that there'll be much blessing attached to that ministry. Help him, O Lord, in the difficulties he has as a result of his Parkinson's disease. We praise you for how you have helped him to be able to cope and to keep going. And we pray for him as he's due to be here next Lord's Day. We pray that he will be able to come and lead the people here in worship, and that will be a blessing to Norris and to all who will be in Karatz. And I pray for your help as I would be due to go to Drumbolg. Pray for that congregation and pray for them, O Lord, as they look to the future and wonder what it will hold for them. We pray that they will be looking to you and trusting that you will have thought through all their needs and that you will in time provide for them. Lord, hear all our prayers. We pray that as we turn to the scriptures, that you, Lord, will bless us through those reliable words that you've given to us. Hear us now in Jesus' name. Amen. We turn to God's word today as we find it in Psalm 24. Psalm 24. I wonder how important your garden has been to you this year, if you have a garden. I think it would be generally the case that gardens have been much more appreciated in the year 2020 than in most other years. And during those times of lockdown back in the spring and times of restrictions in the summer, the garden was a place where where you were allowed to meet with people when you weren't allowed to meet with the same number of people in an indoor setting. And so there were many gatherings that were held in gardens when the weather was suitable, and sometimes when the weather wasn't really suitable, people just went ahead and did it. Well, the most memorable garden party that I can think of ever being at was not one that took place in 2020. It was way back in 1995, before some of you were born. And it was an occasion on which Jennifer and I were invited to the Queen's garden party in the grounds of Holyrood Palace in Edinburgh, at the foot of the Royal Mail and on the edge of Holyrood Park. And I was invited there because on that year I was the moderator of the Synod of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Scotland. That sounds pretty impressive on paper. Wasn't very impressive in reality, but nonetheless, we were invited, and that was a special occasion. And as it turned out, it was a lovely, sunny summer's day. I think Stuart was about 7 months old at the time, and we left him at home with a big book of Thomas the Tank Engine stories and a few sums to do if he got bored. And Jennifer and I headed off in our little blue Vauxhall Nova Life, traveling to this distinguished gathering of people. And I remember thinking as I chugged along the M8 motorway between Glasgow and Edinburgh, there probably wouldn't be anybody else going to this gathering that was driving a Vauxhall Nova Life. The Vauxhall Nova came to an end of its existence back in 1990. They stopped making Novas, and then it was replaced by the Corsa. But I think they had some parts left over, and they made this special cheapo edition. It didn't have all the bits that cars should have, but it did actually work. And we had one of those, and so off we went to Edinburgh to this grand Queen's garden party in our little blue Nova. And we were very careful to bring with us the admission ticket that had been sent to us in the post, because I just could not guarantee that when we walked up, they would immediately recognize us and think, oh, there's the moderator of the RP Church of Scotland. And so we had our paperwork with us to make sure that we were admitted to this grand event. And I must say, it was a strange experience being there and seeing the Queen and all her guards, who were in a very strange uniform. They were archers, and we didn't know anybody that was there. We recognized faces of people who were famous and people involved in Scottish government, but there was always a bit of a feeling of wondering, are we really meant to be here at all? And that's the feeling that there is on the part of King David in writing Psalm 24. There's a struggling to realize that he could really fit in to the situation that he's talking about. Psalm 24 was a psalm that was sung once a week at the Second Temple in Jerusalem, the temple that replaced the first great temple of Solomon. They had a particular psalm that was appointed for each day. And the psalm for the first day of the week was Psalm 24. So every time it was the first day of the week, in that temple that Jesus visited when he was in this world, they sang Psalm 24. The day when Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, they were singing about the great King, the great King of glory, psalm that speaks about the great King of glory. And they were singing about him. And then a few days later, they were putting him to death. Well, I want to look at this psalm, and we'll look at it in three parts. First of all, the opening two verses, which speak to us about our owner and creator. David tells us in the beginning of the psalm who this psalm is all about. And it's all about someone who is much greater than David himself. It's a psalm by a king, but it is a psalm about the king, the King of Kings. In the early verses, he's referred to as the Lord. Later on, he's called the King of Glory. Verse 1, we're told about how great this king is. It says, the earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, the world, and all those who dwell therein. All that you have ever seen in life, and all that you've ever handled in life, it all has the same owner. All things belong to the Lord, David tells us. Everything that fills the earth belongs to the Lord. Every person who lives upon the earth belongs to the Lord. David himself owned a few things. David himself had authority over a few people. But he tells us that it all really belongs to the Lord. So whatever you have, it's not yours, but it's the Lord's. And your very own life is not your own, but it belongs to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, it says there, you are not your own. Your life is not your own. It's not your life. It belongs to the Lord. And we need to humble ourselves every day and remind ourselves that that is the case. Our lives are not our own. We belong to someone else, and we need to humble ourselves and remember that that is the case. Why is it that the earth and all who dwell in it belong to the Lord? Well, David tells us why in verse 2. He says, for, here's the reason, he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. The Lord is the creator of the earth and all its fullness. It is the Lord who is the designer, the architect, the planner, the maker of all things. And David tells us elsewhere in Psalm 139, verse 14, that we ourselves are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we are made in the image, we are made in the likeness of the one who made all things. And this is what God's word teaches, that the earth belongs to the Lord because he has made it. Now, man in his modern day sophistication likes to get rid of every thought of God. God should not be mentioned unless as a swear word. That's the climate of our society. And people choose to believe something different than that there is a great God who made this world. People like to believe that the world came about as an absolutely fluke event, that there's no designer, that there's no architect behind it. And the beliefs that follow on from that are that there is no one who owns us. There is no one who owns the world. And therefore, we can own the world. And we can own ourselves. And if you get rid of the thought of God, that means we can decide for ourselves what is good. And man in his pride likes to think that we are the greatest and that we are able to solve any problem that comes our way. That's why the Prime Minister doesn't call for a day of prayer, because he believes we have the answer. We can do it. We don't need outside help. But that's not what David believed, and that's not what he teaches in this psalm. Those who reject the thought of God are cutting themselves off from the one who is the greatest. And here in this psalm, we're called upon to remember our Creator, to not live our lives as if we are self-made. All of us, the Scriptures teach us, have eternity in our hearts. And in this short time of earthly life that we're given, we need to humble ourselves before our Creator, before our Owner. And what David says here in these opening two verses of Psalm 24 are echoed by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. He writes about the Lord Jesus Christ in Colossians 1, verse 16. And he says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. All things were created through him and for him." The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. We're reminded of our Owner and our Creator. Then the second part of the psalm we'll consider is verses 3 through to 6. And here David writes about the Lord's hill. And he asks a question in verse 3, a question that is very similar to the start of Psalm 15. Psalm 15, verse 1 says, "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill?" And here in Psalm 24, verse 3, David says, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place?" And here's a very important question. Since the Lord that has been described in verses 1 and 2, since he is so great, well, who could be fit to stand in the presence of someone so great as him? And we might think of Psalm 130, where it says, "If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?" Well, David asks the question, who is fit for the presence of the Lord? And he answers his question from verse 4 onwards. The person who could dwell in the presence of the Lord is described. It is he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. And these words are a summary, really, a summary of a sinless life. A life where there is outward holiness, symbolized by cleanness of hands, but there's a corresponding inner holiness, where there is a pure heart. There's an avoidance of putting any idle or worthless thing in the place that is God's place. And there's also an honesty, a reliability, a trustworthiness. There's no deceitful swearing. This is a description of the person, of what a person would have to be if they could be in the presence of such a great Lord and King. How do we measure up to such a requirement? Do we have clean hands and a pure heart? A few days ago, there were 13 rugby players who were given bans by the Rugby Football Union because of their part in a match that was due to take place at the end of October between the England rugby team and a team of people from lots of different places called the Barbarians. And it was due to take place at Twickenham in London, and it had to be cancelled. The whole thing had to be called off, and it cost more than half a million. There was more than half a million pounds was lost because of this. And the reason why it had to be called off was that the players on the Barbarians, 13 of their players, had broken the regulations that they had to abide to in terms of confining themselves to a hotel and keeping themselves within a bubble. And on 2 days, they had sneaked out of the hotel using a fire escape. And they had gone out round London and gone to various bars and restaurants and then sneaked back in again. But they were found out. And when they were challenged with what they had done, they lied. And they tried to cover each other. And in their apology, when they were found guilty, they said, "Our basic instinct as rugby players is to stick together and protect each other." Their basic instinct wasn't to tell the truth, but it was to say what would protect each other. And those men have a problem with their basic instinct, and we all share in that problem. And if God were to examine us, he wouldn't find a pure heart. He wouldn't find clean hands. He wouldn't find people that had never given to something other than God the place of God. He wouldn't find people that are free from deceitfulness. We are not fit company for the great Lord that's described in this psalm. We don't qualify for the blessings that are spoken of here in this psalm in verse 5. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. We don't have that purity that's necessary to be a companion of the Lord. We are flawed and we are deceitful. We are like the Jacob who is mentioned here in verse 6. Jacob was someone who wanted the blessing of God, but he resorted to deceitfulness in order to get that blessing. And we don't qualify for the blessing of God. We don't have the right to be blessed of God, because we are sinners, and we are flawed, and we are deceitful in our hearts. And we will not be able to deceive the Lord. We'll not be able to make him think that we're something that we're not. The Lord knows the truth about all of us. And we may go up that great hill. We may go up that great avenue, that stormont-like avenue. Up that hill that leads to where the house of the Lord is at the top of the hill. But we'll come to gates, and those gates will be closed against us. And they will prevent us from entering. We will be shut out because we are sinners. And God cannot have sinners in his house, in his tent, in his glory. What hope do we have? We who don't have a pure heart. We who don't have clean hands. Well, there is hope. There is hope in this psalm. And the verses from 7 to 10 speak about open gates. And here we have the hope, because there is one to whom those gates always open. And who is that? Well, it is the Lord himself. And in these verses, he's most often referred to as the King of Glory. Oh, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Glory. And here he is. And the Lord Jesus is coming up the great avenue. He's coming up the hill to the gates that lead to the house of glory. And here comes the Lord Jesus Christ, and his hands are clean, and his heart is pure. Here comes the Lord Jesus, and he hasn't lifted up his soul to an idol or a worthless thing. And he has never sworn deceitfully. And what happens as the Lord Jesus comes up the hill and approaches the great gates? Well, the gates and the everlasting doors are lifted up. They rise. They don't block his way. The way is open. And the King of Glory shall enter in. Gates don't open for anyone else. Gates are shut against every sinner. But they open for the King of Glory. The gates to glory open for the one who is the King of Glory. They open because of who he is. He is described in verse 8 as the Lord strong and mighty. He is the Lord mighty in battle. And verse 10, he is the Lord of hosts. And this is the return of the king. Here is the king who has gone out to battle. He has gone to fight the all-important battle. And he returns. It's the return of the king. And the glorious king, having won his great victory, he enters into the eternal glory that is rightfully his. The battle has been fought. Sin has been defeated. The devil has been dealt with. The victory has been won. And the gates are open for the king to enter. And those who are on the king's side enter with him. Those gates wouldn't open for us, but they open for him. And Jesus Christ has opened the way into glory for all his saved people. And through the saving work of Jesus Christ, the King of glory, we have been washed and we have been made clean. We have been given clean hands and a pure heart. We have received the righteousness from the God of our salvation. And what we were lacking, he has supplied. And what excluded us, he has taken away. Well, David himself knew something of what it was to be a king. And he knew a little bit about winning victories. He knew a bit about returning to Jerusalem, going up the hill to the royal city. But what David writes about here in this psalm, it's not about himself. This is not a psalm about David. This is not a psalm that is tied to any Old Testament event. There were no everlasting doors that David ever passed through. David was not the King of glory. David was not the Lord of hosts. David looks ahead to the Savior. He looks ahead to the Son of David, the promised Savior who would be King of kings. And these words of Psalm 24 are pointing us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the great King who comes to the gates of glory, and he opens the gates of glory to his saved people. And we may enter in if we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 10, verse 9, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Psalm 118 is a psalm that the Lord Jesus and his disciples sang on the night of the Last Supper, the night before he went to his death the next day. And in Psalm 118, Jesus sang from verses 18 and 19, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. And he understood what he was singing that night. He understood what was coming and the death that he would have to suffer. But he also knew that he would return to glory and he would bring his people with him, that the gates would open for him and for all who trusted in him. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. And here in Jesus Christ is your one and only hope of glory. You need to trust in this Jesus of the Bible. You need to trust that Jesus Christ was crucified as the sin-bearer to save his people. You need to trust in him as your substitute, that he took punishment that you deserved. And you have to follow Jesus Christ in your life. You have to stay close to Jesus Christ and be his disciple. And if you stay close to Jesus, well then, when those gates open for him into glory, well, you will just follow in behind him. That's the way it works. That's the only way. That's the only way that any of us will ever be in glory. Those gates will not open for anyone else. They shut us out, but they don't shut him out. They open for him, because he is the King of glory. And your only hope of glory is to be with him. You need to serve him in life, and you need to die trusting in him. And when you do that, you will enter through the gates of splendor. Psalm 24 speaks of the glorious return of the King. He will not return alone. He will return with all his people following up that great avenue. And the gates will enter. The gates will lift up their heads on high. And Christ will enter in. And all his saved people will follow after him. And this is a great hope. Do you know that hope for yourself? Are you a follower today of Jesus Christ? You need to be a follower of Jesus. Or you not follow him through those gates? You have to follow him in life if you want to follow him into glory. And all who follow him in life will follow him into the glory. For he is the King of glory. Amen. Now we're going to be singing from Psalm 24 from our Psalter. We'll be singing it to the tune 298, the tune "To God Be the Glory." I want to read you just a little paragraph from one of the books that I consulted about Psalm 24. I'll not tell you who wrote this. There's lots of excellent stuff in it. I didn't think this paragraph was among the excellent stuff. It says, "Perhaps the best way," this is the final paragraph on the chapter, "perhaps the best way to rub Psalm 24 into the pores of your soul would be to use it in worship, either individually or in our family circles." And he says, "Take Bible and hymn book, read verses 1 and 2, and then sing Joachim Neander's Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. Then read verses 3 to 6 and respond with George Crowley's Spirit of God Descend Upon My Heart. Finally, read verses 7 to 10 and join in Come Thou Almighty King." And it just struck me that would it not be much better to just sing Psalm 24? And that's what we simply seek to do. These are the words of God. These are words that speak to us of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing better to sing than to sing the words of God. Let us sing this great psalm that speaks to us and reminds us that our Savior is not some puny little creature who's struggling to have any influence in this world whatsoever. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who made this world, and he is the owner of all things, and he is the one to whom the gates of glory enter. Our Savior is the great King of glory. He is the Lord of all hosts. And so let us unite in singing his praise. We sing the whole of the psalm. The tune is "To God Be the Glory," number 298. And after the singing of this, then I close the service with a benediction.
The earth and the riches with which it is stored, the world and its dwellers belong to the Lord. For he on the seas its foundations has laid, and firm on the waters its pillars has made. I will man of your heart and of hands with that stain, has not sworn falsely, or loved what is vain. He will from the Lord then a blessing receive, the God of salvation will righteousness give. Thus looking to him is this whole present race, all those who like Jacob are seeking your face. O gates, lift your heads, ages doors, lift them high. The great King of glory to enter draws nigh. Oh, who is a king who in glory draws near? The Lord strong and mighty in battle is here. O gates, lift your heads, ageless doors, lift them high. The great King of glory to enter draws nigh. This great King of glory, oh, who can he be? The Lord of all hosts, King of glory is he.
God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit, be with you all.